Hi everyone, I'm Mike, she's Holly, and this is Married to Marketing, a weekly podcast where we cover topics from marketing to customer experience to technology and how you can apply it to your business strategy today. When you're looking for ways to grow your business, it can feel like a lonely journey. How do you find customers? How do you reach them? How do you get them to trust that you're the right fit for what they need? It's a lot, and it can feel overwhelming. But it doesn't have to be. One of our favorite ways to help you reach more potential customers is through smart partnerships and collaborations with other businesses who are already reaching your ideal customer. However, there is a right way to do this and a very, very wrong way. We'll get into how Forever 21 missed the mark this week, getting called out in their headlines for fat-shaming customers. And after we explore what went wrong there, we'll share an example we experienced this week of brand partnerships executed perfectly. So we have one big example from a big brand of a partnership that was not well executed. Then we'll share that local example of partnerships done right. You have the example.
Yes.
That you wanted to share that kind of sparked this conversation this
week.
Yeah,
absolutely. So the headline from NBC News, and we will share this article in the show notes. Headline reads, Forever 21 accused of fat shaming after mailing diet bars with orders, including plus size orders. The clothing line is facing allegations of body shaming and encouraging eating disorders after sending Atkins meal replacement bars with its online orders. So, for those of you who don't know Forever 21 are not familiar with the brand, the majority of their target audience is younger women. So teenagers, those in their 20s. So already the idea of sending diet bars, not great. You know, there's a lot going on there that just feels unhealthy with that target audience. But for a long, long time, Forever 21 actually has been lauded for having such an excellent plus size selection of clothing and styles. Like, they really make an effort there. So to include a diet bar with plus size orders, some people took to Twitter and they were extraordinarily offended.
Somehow I'm not surprised by that part at all.
Right.
But even for a brand who's made a name in the past for catering, you know, having a good selection for plus size women, plus size people, they made this decision, or, you know, maybe everybody in marketing didn't, somebody made this decision and decided that if you bought a pair of jeans, we were going to also include an Atkins diet bar.
Right. Yeah. So there's a couple of things to explore here. Like, at its base, you know, I imagine Atkins was looking for a new audience because they're trying to rebrand into just this healthy nutritional alternative,
yep.
Right? But they're still Atkins, yeah. And what their name associated with is dieting at its core.
Yeah.
So if the target audience is mostly young females, like, you don't necessarily want to be sending them a message that, hey, you need to be eating a meal replacement bar instead of a healthy meal. So I just think that wasn't a great lineup. But I will say, at its core, I do a ton of online shopping. I know You're kind of aware of that because you get all of the boxes here at the house.
I am aware, yes. Yes, Amazon Prime knows us well.
Right. The number of boxes you have to take to the trash. I'd say I'm sorry, but I'm not. So I've received freebies often in the mail or with orders that I've done, and I've loved it. Like, there was I got some exercise gear and they included a free pair of running socks before. I've gotten hair ties, you know, like, yep. Different things because again, most of my orders are all athletic equipment and clothing.
Uh-huh.
And I've been happy with all of that. That didn't feel out of place to me. There was some alignment. Going for a run, need to put my hair up in a pony, you know? So that made sense to me. This doesn't necessarily line up well, and the only way to line it up is with a really negative message.
Yeah, for sure. Even, you know, just the idea of including some of those extra freebies, One of my favorite local brands is Homage. And Homage does a really nice job of just making connections that make sense and tie back to the story of the brand and the idea of nostalgia, right? So you order a t-shirt from them and they're going to send you a pack of wrestling cards from the 1980s or like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cards or something like that. Right. So, you know, they'll throw in something that ties back to the brand. And I think whether you're talking about you doing that for as kind of a bonus for your customers or whether you're actually trying to bring in a partner mm-hmm. to enhance what you're offering, you know, I would imagine from Atkins' side of this, they're looking at Forever 21 going, ooh, this is a good way for us to get in front of a younger audience.
Well, younger audience, yeah. And, you know, predominantly females make up more of the dieting, the people that are going to purchase diet products yep. than men. I don't have the exact statistic, but I'll find it and throw it into the show notes because I know that's true. So they were just thinking about identifying new people to get in front of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just was a real slip up.
So partnership gone wrong, mm-hmm. maybe not the best idea to send diet bars along with your jeans.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to compare that to a local example, small business, maybe not that small, but local business that we had an opportunity to experience some partnerships done really, really well at the local Parade of Homes here in Columbus, in the Columbus area. And obviously this is just an event, goes for a couple of weeks. People come and they tour some sample model homes and you know, all the interior design from a number of different builders.
Right.
And I was amazed and really impressed by the number and the level of partnerships and just the level of detail that went into it mm-hmm. to make it fit.
Right. And, you know, this kind of is that overlap of marketing and customer experience, because it was done in a way that not just, you know, was well executed, but it was seamless. It didn't feel like it was, oh, you're here to look at homes, here, buy all of this other stuff.
Right.
And instead, it really just worked exactly the way it was supposed to. It felt like a flow. And I loved that. And I think that just really quickly going back to the Forever 21 example, there was no flow and that customer experience just blew up in their face.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious if the partnership, the brand partnership department had nothing to do with the marketing department, you know, or the branding department. There was no overlap there or discussion of, this doesn't fit. This is not a good experience. Whereas as we talk about the Parade of Homes, you'll just see it was good experience after good experience after good experience.
So what were some of the examples that you liked the most at the Parade of Homes?
I mean, the two that stood out to me the best, one has to do with just the product placement being placed at the right place. And the other one is just a timing thing. So we were in these homes that were wet, like at a minimum 6,000 square feet. So the master bedroom had a walk-in closet that is bigger than my apartment in DC. And one of the things they did was, of course, they styled the closet. So there was clothing in there, beautiful clothing. And as we were walking through, I noticed that not only did the clothing have a price tag on it, there was also signage that said, hey, this is from the boutique that's just a half a mile in our downtown shops. So the clothing looked right in yep. that closet. And then it was like, hey, you can actually get this beautiful blouse, which I almost made you drive to and get me. But it made sense there. Like, it didn't stick out as something weird or like that it was out of place. Now, if you had taken that and there was a clothing rack on the front porch when we walked in
right.
with clothing for sale, that would have seemed completely out of place.
For sure.
But in the closet of this like monstrous walk-in closet, it made perfect sense for the clothing to be there.
Yeah.
And for those who are curious, you could find more information about the actual pieces of clothing.
It actually enhanced the experience of the tour because it made it feel more real.
Right.
And, you know, you have this big closet that actually has clothes in it, which
yeah.
you would expect. And there was a tie-in to a local brand.
Yeah, totally. So then the other one that I loved is it was Sherwin-Williams. But you walk throughout these homes, and of course they've had interior design in there. So there's some beautiful accent colors and different paint going on and treatments throughout the home. And when we walked out into the garage, which is, they really guide you through the whole home. I'm sure you've noticed that. Mm-hmm. Like, there was one flow and yep. one way to go. When you hit the garage, Sherwin-Williams had a stand there that showed you the exact colors that were used in each of the homes. And so you knew, here's the color palette, here's the exact color, if I just want to take this inspiration and go do an accent wall yep. in my own home. Had that color swatch actually been on the wall in, like, the kid's bedroom, it would have felt too salesy. It, again, it just was the wrong time for it. In the garage, on the way out, being able to just grab it made perfect sense.
So don't get in the way of the experience, but you saw it, you loved it, here's how you can get it for yourself.
Absolutely, yeah.
Nice. And there were a bunch of those types of things throughout, you know, whether it was flooring or whether it was furniture companies and custom furniture makers mm-hmm. that had placed their products. You know, one of the other things that I thought was smart was not only providing that information, but also giving some incentive connected to the whole event, right? So right. it's like, hey, we're doing an event special. If you order, you know, during these 2 weeks, then you'll get an extra discount. You'll get 10% off your order or something like that. So there was a lot of smart tie-ins, a lot of smart just, hey, it's not just a matter of us getting in front of you. We're now going to give you a reason. I know we're going to get into that a little bit mm-hmm. more, but I like that a lot.
Me too. Well, what was your favorite placement or partnership?
I think the ones that got me were the ones that were not necessarily so in your face, but if you're looking at a home and you're looking to buy, you're probably going to need a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there were things there about, you know, Chase Bank was mm-hmm. promoting their different mortgage opportunities and like ways to get pre-approved before you even know what you're going to buy. So,
right.
you know, they're taking some of that risk. They're taking some of the obstacles out of the way. It's like, you love what you see. Wouldn't it be great if you knew exactly what you could afford?
Yeah.
And sure. so, you know, just some signage, some messaging around that. I think there was some similar things with like even home insurance, but just some of the things that were not so obvious. I mean, I like the examples that you shared for sure. You know, there was one home that was, you know, more focused on technology. They had solar panels on the roof.
Right.
And the solar company had their stuff there and was talking about the tax credits that were available and those kinds of things. So
right.
same concept. It really was the ones that just made sense
yeah.
without necessarily getting too in the way.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. So I think that's one thing that we wanted to hit on is just keeping it natural. The best partnerships are the ones that seem obvious. Right after you see it, right? It's just like it feels like a natural part of the experience and you go, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I think I'm going to steal even for staging my apartments is there was a little sunroom that they had turned into the art studio. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And it was beautiful because there was all this artwork, some of it partially done and, you know, the paint was out and the colors, you know. There was a halfway.
It looked like a studio in use.
Yeah, yeah. It was perfectly staged. But there you could see exactly there was a sheet with the pricing of all of the artwork that was there just laying on the desk. It wasn't even in a stand. It mm-hmm. was just if you looked over at the desk, you could see the pricing of all of the artwork that was there. And I thought that was so perfect because it was useful for us to see how that room could be of use. And it's, you know, obviously beneficial to the artist. And it's beneficial to the interior designer that was staging that room to give it so much color and life.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we've established most of the reasons of like why you might want to do partnerships, but I just want to go through it and hit the bullet points.
Sure.
So and get your thoughts on this too. What are, like, certainly good way to add value for customers?
Right, definitely.
And do it in different ways, whether it's through art and introducing you to a local artist that you maybe haven't seen before, or mm-hmm. whether it's just like, hey, you saw this thing, it makes perfect sense, here's how you can get it with, like, the paint swatches.
Right, or, you know, including a free hair tie with an e-commerce order for a pair of running shorts.
Right, so new, it's a way to introduce new and interesting but related products
right.
that would be useful for your current customers.
Yes.
Or, you know, if you're on the flip side of that, it's, hey, if I have something that is useful, if I'm the hair tie company, mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily just make sense for me to be in salons. Mm-hmm. It makes sense for me to be connected with all of the activities where people need hair ties.
Yeah. It goes back to just the obvious thing that we all know, which is understand your customer and not just the demographics of this is how much they make and this is, you know, their age group, but this is what they are actually living every day.
Not just the customer demographics, but the behavior.
Yeah.
What they need. Yeah. So I think that that's a really big opportunity, especially for the smaller businesses, for the local companies, is how can you identify that behavior and you know, those opportunities to help your customer, and then look for the ways that you can leverage that bigger audience, whether mm-hmm. it's a local, you know, an event or a larger company, a corporation that you can partner with. So how can you leverage that bigger audience so that you can increase your exposure and get in front of people who aren't necessarily looking directly for you?
Right. Yeah.
Cool. So one of the things that you wanted to hit on that you thought was really important, you've already touched on a little bit, is making sure that you give people a way to take action. You create a partnership, you get in front of people. Great. Now what?
Right. I think one of the big things that we see often that are the maybe misses are that, you know, you'll nail a product placement but not give an actual call to action. I see this all the time, and it's maybe the most frustrating thing, where I actually see a product that I want and there's no obvious way to get to it to purchase it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, marketing being something where all we're trying to do is change consumer behavior, you actually have to tell the customer what behavior you want them to take. So again, going back to just the e-commerce one, because that's nice and easy. If you include a free hair tie, awesome, I'm using it. There better be a card in there, probably with a discount code, so that I can, you're prompting me to take the next step, which is to go buy some of your hair ties.
Yeah, give people a way to get to you, give them a reason, maybe even give them an incentive to take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can do this online too, you know,
right.
As you're talking, I think about, like, the whole trend towards shop the look.
Yes.
And, you know, Pinterest and Google are both going after visual search to help with this, of, like, you can take a picture and identify what someone's wearing and how you can go buy it, where you can go buy it, right?
Yeah.
But I think that that's something that you can even do in your own marketing. If you have some of those things where you have great, beautiful photography, maybe it's, you know, for you and your apartments, mm-hmm. how can you shop the look of your model apartment and tell people exactly where to go to get that coffee table or to get that piece of art or whatever it is that you're showcasing?
Exactly. I mean, we've gone so as far as we hired a local interior designer to do our models at one of our new communities that's opening. And part of the deal when we signed them was that they will do a couple resident events about how to actually lay out furniture in your apartment, how to do a gallery wall properly, how to choose the right colors. Because that's, you know, they love it. It's helpful for them. They're probably going to get hired for some gigs in the building. And for us, it's providing our customer with a really useful experience, an entertaining one.
And when they need it, something that's
yes.
useful for them. Yeah. So don't just throw a sample in the bag and call it a day.
Right.
Like, let people take that next step so that they can actually buy your stuff. you know. Okay, cool. So Is there anything else that we want to be looking out for when it comes to building partnerships like this?
Yeah, definitely. So, if you're, especially if you're, well, I was going to say if you're a smaller business, but it really is regardless of the size of your business, when you're making the agreement with the partner, know what your asks are up front and make sure everything's agreed to ahead of time. It's kind of, we talked about this a little bit with influencer marketing. It's the same exact idea. So great, you're putting, you know, some sort of product in with theirs or you're advertising together. What else are you going to ask for? Doesn't mean you're always going to get it, but decide what you want. So maybe that's access to that customer list. Maybe that's being included in a certain number of blog posts. Maybe it, you know, whatever it happens to be, make sure that you actually ask that up front, get it in writing so it's part of the agreement and you know. Yep. I imagine everyone who did that parade of homes things are going to share the mailing list that comes out of it.
Yeah. I think the other side of that is there is a responsibility on your part. If you're going to get access to an audience or get access to a list, or you're going to make sure that the other brands are exposing you, giving you that exposure, you want to be ready for it on your end too.
Yes.
So whether that's blog posts or you know, video, your own video content, landing pages, you want to make sure that when people get to you, that you have your story ready to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially if you've gone through the trouble of even saying, here's this specific promo code, then in your response email, I imagine you'll have an email drip set up. It should say, we're so glad you saw us at the Parade of Homes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
So let's bring it back to the original story here with Forever 21. Are there any other issues to just be careful of, things to avoid?
Yeah, and I think part of this is knowing the target audience that you will be reaching with your product or via your partnership.
Yeah.
And listen, like, body positivity is a huge thing right now. So I guess it doesn't even matter that part of this target audience was young women. Like, regardless of who it is, you have to be really, really careful about making sure you are sharing the right message and make it really clear what you're trying to share with them.
It's a lightning rod issue, right?
Yeah.
And like, there's all of these, you know, certainly there's lots of talk, especially in like the PR world right now, about brands taking stands.
Yep.
But understand that there are repercussions to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you pursue any kind of hot button topic, whether that's political or body positivity or anything like that, just know that you're going to have some fallout from that.
Certainly. And I think it's the responsibility of you as your brand to know whomever you're partnering with, what stands they've already taken and what stands they plan to take, as much as you can know, because you will be associated with it.
Yeah. So certainly we love the idea of partnership marketing. There's lots and lots of cool collaborations out there, but there's a downside to it. Any parting thoughts? Any like other keys to success for partnership marketing, or anything that you want to leave us with?
Yeah. So I think you may have picked up on, I love strategy in marketing, and brand partnerships are an awesome strategy. It's just like any other strategy, though. You have to understand from the beginning what your outcomes are that you want to accomplish. Make sure you are partnering with someone whose audience makes sense, and the partnership itself, wherever your placement's going to be, feels good to the customer. And I would wrap that up with, make sure that you're giving the proper call to action to the customer so that they can come find you.
I think we can wrap it up there, because we've shown you the downside, we've shown you all the advantages. There are lots and lots of good examples out there. We'd love to hear your favorite examples. That's all we have for today. But if you do have a partnership marketing example you want to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. She's a Partmentalist on social. I'm at M Whaling. Hit us up there. If you find value in these conversations, we definitely want to hear from you. We also want you to share the podcast with someone else who might find value, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps more than you know. Thanks for being here with us, everybody.
Have a great week.
That's all we have for this week. Make sure to subscribe and hit us up on social if you have questions or a topic you want to hear us cover on a future episode. Until next time, take care of your customers and keep your eyes and mind open. Inspiration is everywhere, and your next great breakthrough is likely right in front of you. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. We appreciate you. We'll see you right back here next time on Married to Marketing. Yeah.